This is Will's Band of the Week for March 19th, 2017. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Grant, live in studio.
Hello.
You know, according to the social media, it's Barrett's birthday, I think, today.
Can you verify that that's true in real life?
No.
Not just on the net?
No, can't verify it.
Yikes.
You could have put anything down on some social media thing, right? Mm-hmm. But on the assumption that it might be Barrett's birthday, we should say happy birthday, Barrett.
Yeah, happy birthday.
And apparently there's some occasion that was more important to him than recording the podcast, which I'm kind of appalled at, but it's the way it goes.
What could be a better birthday gift than the joy of podcast recording?
Well, I know, that's what I'm thinking. But we have a gift for him now, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's, he's going to be able to hear some new rock and roll. Yeah, I can't think of anything better to give someone for their birthday than rock and roll recommendations.
Me neither, really.
Yeah, so... Well, here we are. Yeah, it's Grant, and it's kind of a Grant's Underground. We're going to call it a Grant's Underground.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and I don't think there's been any music news. Nothing has happened, you think?
Yeah, I mean, Coachella sued Urban Outfitters.
Oh, that's fun.
Saw that on Twitter.
What happened?
They were selling a dress that was like Coachella dress, and I guess they didn't have the copyright rights or some shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
huh?
Fun good news right there.
Yeah. Urban Outfitters should pay up on that for sure.
Bleed them dry, Coachella. Yep. Get them.
Yep. Well, I guess South by Southwest is going on right now, and we are not there.
Yeah. Reporting live from not South by Southwest.
Right. And we are failing the listeners, right, by not being there and providing up-to-the-minute reports on the 2,000 bands playing there.
Yeah.
And they're playing, apparently the 2,000 bands are all playing for music industry reps, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I was telling you the other day that I looked up, if you wanted to go there to get the music badge, how much would it cost? And it said $1,300. I thought,
it's a lot.
Seems like a lot, yeah.
For your average music fan or festival goer.
And if you were a, you know, advanced planner, and if you bought the music badge last summer, it would have cost a mere $800.
Mm.
So it kind of seems kind of crazy. I looked at the list. Obviously, I only looked at a very small percentage of the entire list of bands, but definitely you could make a, you could map out something where you'd see a whole bunch of bands that you liked. But suppose you see, you know, suppose you're there for 4 days, like the heart of it is like 3 or 4 days. So if you're there for 4 days and you saw 6 bands that were pretty cool each of those 4 days. You're still paying $200 a day. Still kind of a lot.
And you're seeing them in a context probably isn't ideal for the audience or the bands playing.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't know.
I don't really know. It seems like, you know, and they talk about bands where people literally like stand outside in line for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That would just be, just forget that, right?
Sounds lame.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I still have a curiosity about it, but the Will's Band of the Week podcast is not going to do any better than what we just gave you.
Until we have our unofficial showcase.
Well,
maybe in Texas or just somewhere different, on a totally different date.
It's kind of a good point.
Unofficial.
There should be a Will's Band of the Week showcase. That would be our way to get down there, right?
Yeah.
That's what we should do. Okay, we're going to get... who's going to work on
it? Set it up.
Who's going to be assigned that task? Maybe Craig should do it.
Our Austin correspondent.
Well,
it totally exists.
See, you can do it. You can do it one of two ways. You can do it with the local correspondent, or I think it would just seem cooler if we had somebody, some guy from the UK doing it.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Maybe Craig should be assigned to put together the Will's Band of the Week South by Southwest Showcase 2018.
Yeah, we should get some Canadian and Australian bands too. Be super multinational.
Well, yeah, you've got the media guy is in the UK, but we're doing a worldwide thing.
Yeah.
So we'll get maybe like reunite Taco Leg.
Yes.
I was trying to find out what happened to
That'd
Taco
be so
Leg.
Good.
I was trying to find out what happened to them, and I found a reference to one of the guitar players, or maybe there was only one guitar player. Maybe it wasn't even the guitar player. One of the members had a different band, and it looked like, you know, totally, you know, nobody's ever heard of them.
Yeah.
Except that, like, with extensive searching, I found it probably 50 people have heard them or something. So they probably aren't going to have the budget to travel outside of Australia.
Damn.
To perform. Taco Leg was great. Well, let's see. That was sort of, we kind of did music news there.
Yeah, I think that counts.
It was all right.
For sure.
Nobody died, I don't think. So all the rockers stayed alive for one more week. I mean, that's kind of the best goal we can have, really, right?
Yeah.
All the aging rockers need to stay alive for a while. So, good. It was a good week for staying alive.
Yeah.
And, well, so we have music to talk about. And should we start in on the music we have this week?
I think we should.
So, the first one, let's talk about Parlor Walls first, because you and I have both listened to this. I think we have at least a general positive impression of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you told me only this, that there's this band you've been listening to, and it's guitar, drums, and saxophone, I'd say, I don't know if I'm going to like this at all.
And keyboard.
Yeah, there's a keyboard in there too, isn't there?
That the drummer plays. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Well, I'm just going to say in general that somehow it works and it's kind of cool. So should we play a track and then talk further?
Sounds like a good idea.
Do you have a strong opinion? Do you want the first pick or do you want to give me the first pick?
You can have the first pick.
All right. I'm going to go with the song Birthday.
Yeah, that song would have been one of my picks if I was choosing all of them. It's a good choice.
Good. They're from New York. I think they were in maybe a different part of New York, and then they moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom.
Huh. Yeah, that'd be classic.
And the woman who sings, and I think is the main songwriter, her name is Elise Lam, and she was or is in another band called Eula. Seems like I might have heard of them before, but I'm not sure. So there you go. A little trivia.
Yeah.
Want to make a pick?
Yeah.
What's
it
going to be?
I'm going to pick the first track, which is called Crime Engine Failure.
Yeah, definitely good.
Saw a live video of that song, and it looks like the saxophone player just kind of improvises, but it makes you realize how the song structures are sort of built to be able to be improvised over and changed a bit. I think that's cool.
Yeah, they sort of create an opening, and then, yeah, somehow it all works, and it's cool. The singer, I like her style, and, you know, I was mentioning to you that she sometimes reminds me of Kim Gordon. We haven't played anything that sounds anything like Kim Gordon. There's a couple spots where I was like, oh, there's a little Kim Gordon influence. And then, you know, a little Karen O in there, I think, a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, she has a pretty, she has a good range of inflections, I think. It definitely ranges from that more melodic to like talk singing.
Right. And then they mix the kind of discordant saxophone parts with kind of, you know, I guess this is what is attributed to the only music I like, dream pop, right? I mean, there's a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
So it all is an interesting combination. So I was reading a review, doing some music journalism before we started recording. There was this great review, and I didn't read it like word for word, but I was kind of skimming through it. And it was a fascinating review because the person said, you know, here's a really interesting thing to listen to. And then they were talking about how they, as they listened to it more, they actually liked it less. So this was the this was great. It was like, the more I listen to this, the less I like it, but you should check it out. 8 out of 10.
That's hilarious.
It's like, what? So
that means something, probably.
Yeah.
Like the production's 10 out of 10, the songwriting's like 6 or something. Who knows?
I think they were saying they actually wanted, the more they listened, the more they wanted the saxophone to be more prominent.
Yeah.
I think it's mixed just about right. There's one song that's basically just a saxophone thing, like a jazzy experimental saxophone is like the whole thing. So
that's, oh, are you talking about the second to last song?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I read in an interview something really cool about that, which is they recorded it and they put it on the record, but they didn't even listen to it. They're like, the first time we're going to listen to it is after the record's been pressed.
Oh, I read that too. Okay, let's just play a little bit of that one, and then I have one more pick. So okay. This is the saxophone thing called Car Stairs. Synth and percussion and a saxophone thing. So I wouldn't want to listen to a whole album of that, but it's kind of cool that they just threw that in there as one track on the entire album.
I support that. I support blending experimental improvisational noise with standard pop music.
Yeah. Let's play one more. I'm going to go with one from the middle of the album that I like called Teach Me Where to Roam. Parlor Walls. The album is called Opposites, and I think people should listen to it.
Yeah, me too. The album cover features an interesting juxtaposition with this like overexposed film, and on one side there are houses, and on one side there's nature. And those are the opposites.
Oh yeah.
That's my take.
Yeah. Good. I hadn't analyzed the cover, but yeah, it looks cool. All right, I'm going to declare us one for one.
Cool.
And we're going to go on to the next artist, which you are going to tell us about.
Yeah. The next artist is The Garden, which is a band of brothers Wyatt and Fletcher Shears from Orange, California.
Orange County?
Yeah, I think so. Is there a city called Orange, too?
I'm not sure. They always talk about Orange County.
Yeah, well, that's the area they're from.
Yeah.
And these guys say they make a kind of music called Vada Vada. That's their made-up term for it. And it sounds suspiciously like Dada to me. And I can sort of hear...
I don't know what Dada is. I mean, there was a band called
Dada.
It's an
art movement that emphasizes art for the sake of art and sort of like nonsensical structure.
Hmm.
And I see a lot of that in The Garden. So maybe they're referencing that. But they're also just really funny without it being like try hard funny. Like I'll just think of a different meaning of something in their songs and I'll just start laughing to myself. So I think it's finely crafted and goofy music in a very good way. And they just got signed to like a big punk label called Epitaph. And yeah, this is an EP on that. And I want to play the title track, which is You Want the Scoop.
You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby.
Generic businessman, you know he's onto something. He looks like a normal man, but he's something else. He's from Split. He's trying to sell you something. He's from Split. So now you know, so now you know. You see a picture of an old businessman. Yeah, he's from Split. Yeah, he's from Split. If he looks like a latex mask, then you know that he's from Split. Yeah, he's from Split.
You want that scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You in that loop? Yeah, we doubt it, baby. You wanna know about Split? Yeah, we got you, baby. You wanna know about Split? Yeah, we got you, baby. You want the scoop? Yeah, I got it, baby. You in the loop? Yeah, we got it, baby. You wanna know about Split? Yeah, we got you, baby. You wanna know about Split? Yeah, we got you, baby.
Bug under his costume body. He can't wait to breathe again. Cut that latex skin again. Tied up, shaking human hands. Freeway, train tracks, hair, steady, red. Fucker tells you got to question that shit. You could smell his stench from a mile away. Probably driving past his billboard every day. Advertise itself, he's getting into the system. Travel back to Split, we gotta get out of that shit. Split or going with, to the back. I think our skin might split. Turn around, hand a whip. Looks like some fuck Split.
The Garden.
Yeah.
Yep. You Want the Scoop. That's the title of the EP, which is five songs. So now they're signed to a major punk label, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to release a big LP this year.
A big monster, highly anticipated thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What else do we have?
We have track one, which is called Clay.
Yeah.
I was looking at their webpage, and they toured a couple of years ago. They kind of went all over the place.
I think they're kind of like a place to bury strangers where they just say yes. They play everywhere. They're even playing in our humble town. Our humble, small prairie town.
Small town Madison?
Mm-hmm.
The place that that Billy Corgan has barely ever heard of?
Yes. That exact place.
And I think I attributed that quote to him, and I don't think he really said that, but there was some old grizzled rock and roll dude who said that. We had never even heard of Madison.
He said something saying like other people said that, but he would never say that.
Yeah, Billy wouldn't say that.
Please don't sue us, Billy Corgan.
You weren't
Do
here.
Not get mad at us.
You weren't here when I did my report on that Smart Studios documentary. But I thought from all I've read about Billy Corgan being a jerk, he didn't come across too badly, did he? I mean, he was just Billy Corgan.
I'm on the fence. I'm not going to say I like him, but I'm not going to say I really dislike him either.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's a fair reading of Billy Corgan. The Garden. I think this is a thing that people are going to remember. I learned about this from Grant's Underground before they got
big.
They
should, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Are we going to play one more?
Yeah. Let's play. Do you want something that's excessively poppy or something that's chill?
Well, you are the curator here. So
yeah, I'm the curator, but I want you to
If you ask me, I'm going to say play the poppy thing.
Okay, let's play All Access.
Get your clock on, get your junk on. Get your clock on, get your junk on. Staying up late, you want that break done. Staying up late, you want last month.
That's the Garden.
Yeah.
When they play our humble small town, are they playing at the student union?
They're playing at the student union with a bigger stage.
Oh, the
indoors.
The set.
That's correct.
All right. Yeah. It's kind of weird how we've talked about this before, but how the old union, the Memorial Union, has this 1 foot stage, but with the advantage that you can walk behind and get different angles on the band. And then the set has this kind of like almost too big of a stage.
Yeah, no, I think the smaller stage sounds better. But they're both worthy, sure. Better than bands playing on the sidewalk or something.
Yeah, well, you always go to the front when you go to see bands.
I do,
and
I try.
And so I've noticed that about the set, that you kind of have to go to the front because bands just don't sound very good back. It's something with the sound
system. It's kind of made more for like football broadcasting. If you're in the upper floor or whatever, I think.
Right, right. They put a big screen, put sports events up there. But a couple bands I've seen there, I saw Eternal Summers, and I was up kind of at the front, and it was pretty good. And I saw Foxygen with Barrett, and we were kind of far back, and it was not very good. And then I think I saw Surfer Blood there too, and it was just this thing where I felt like the farther away I was, the worse it sounded, and the worse the experience was. So you got to push your way to the front, claw your way, do whatever you need to do, shove people out of the way, just do what it takes.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah,
it's rock and roll etiquette.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, that's the garden, and okay, I've got one now. Grant gave me the liberty of making a pick on Grant's Underground.
So, it's an honor.
Not sure where I read about this band, but I missed them last year. And they're called Snail Mail, and they're from Baltimore. And they put out a 6-song EP called Habit last summer, and it's really good. So I'm thinking this has got to be a band that is going to get a little bit of traction. At least I hope so.
So kind of looks like it. They've been popping up on the Instagram feeds of musicians I follow.
Okay, so somebody
getting respect from their peers.
Somebody's finding them or promoting them or something. It's one of those internet conspiracies of hype, right? Mm-hmm. They're planting it in our brains so that we've heard of them. We're falling for it completely.
The devil is burying the dinosaur bones.
But luckily, the album is good, so we don't have to apologize for even if we fell for a marketing scheme, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to start with a title track called Habit.
I think I actually have heard them before. I think they got reposted by a tastemaker on SoundCloud a while ago.
Cool tastemaker?
And probably liked it when I heard it, but not quite enough to like download the whole thing.
Sounds reasonable.
But yeah, I'm curious to hear more of it.
All right, then we're going to play some more. Let's try track 5, Slug.
Black one on
That's Snail Mail. It sounds very sort of live recorded, doesn't it?
Yeah, the recording actually reminds me a little bit of like Chuck Race. It's a bright mid-rangey bass, and yeah, it doesn't seem like someone like spent like a whole week worrying over how to mix it or like master it. Like, I don't know, who cares?
Yeah. And, but just without the the fancy effects, it works pretty well, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't know. For different music, sometimes that's good, but I think for this kind of thing, it's good to keep it minimal.
Yeah. All right. Let's, there's the song that's supposed to be the hit is the first track, so we should at least play a little bit of that one. It's called Thinning. That's Snail Mail, a band to check out.
That's definitely the song I heard from them before.
Yeah, makes sense. I saw it linked in a few places.
Yeah, it's the hit, for sure.
And as we speak, well, maybe earlier this week from when we're speaking, they were showcasing themselves in front of crowds of music industry representatives in Austin, Texas. So we'll see if they get a major label deal out of it.
Matador.
Do you think there are a bunch of guys wearing suits at South by Southwest? I wonder if there are people
they pretend to be down to earth by wearing $400 long sleeve shirts instead of suits.
Well, I have to think a lot of people just look like your average concert goer, you know, rock and roll audience member. And you know, some of the people who look like that are probably, you know, industry rep people.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there are certain people who want to look really important, so they wear like a suit and tie.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe like the huge labels, Capitol Records or something.
Yeah. You could do like a prank and go to South by Southwest and just dress like that.
Oh,
and look
shit.
Really serious.
Yeah, like that's a good idea. Maybe people would just let you in even if you didn't have a pass. Yeah. Be like, well, that suit's expensive enough that this guy's getting in.
It would be fun though. You could go like right up toward the front and kind of glare at the band with a really serious look on your face.
But I mean, there's, you know, they would kind of, there would be an incentive to let people in like that, because, you know, there are people who are just rich guys that are like, I'll put out your record just because I like it. Like Martin Shkreli did that. There was a whole meme about it in the news, the band Nothing and Scandals, whatever.
You mean he gave...
It's good press for both of them.
He gave a lot of money to them?
He funded the label that signed them, and then... they signed to a different label because they're like, screw this guy.
Huh.
But it was kind of all just publicity.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, then
the power moves.
The story I remember most from that concept is the band Girls got some guy who had lots of money that funded their album. You know, it was good. It was the first couple of things they put out were really good. So You know, it's kind of cool that that happened, but it's kind of weird too, right?
It's odd, but I don't really consider it any worse than the current state of the record industry. It's all kind of nepotism, yeah. Favoritism,
yeah,
gaming the system.
Yeah.
Who cares where the money comes from?
All right. Well, that was Snail Mail. We think you'll be hearing more from them, so we're cluing you in. So, okay, now you've got another one, and I've heard of them. Like, this is a, like, it's a name of a band that I've heard. That's about as far as it goes for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I listened to one of their older albums because it got coverage from the Holy Pitchfork. But this seems like it's a little bit more geared as like an independent release. It's the band Milk Music, currently from Olympia, Washington.
Do you think Billy Corgan has ever heard of Olympia, Washington? I mean, it's
smaller, nobody.
It's smaller than Madison.
No, he probably hasn't.
Yeah, he would scoff at it.
He probably unless he wants half to, scoffs at Seattle because it's just so far north or something.
But he might want to name drop Slater Kinney, you know.
Oh,
so then,
yeah.
Then he would have to have heard of Olympia, right. Washington, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe more of a cultural hub than Madison, despite its small size.
It could be. I've heard sort of conflicting things about Olympia, Washington, and I've been there one time, and I don't think I was there. I didn't see enough of it to get a real feel for what the community is like. But I think I was either reading or getting the sense that there's both kind of a conservative part of the population and then also like this punk scene.
So, yeah.
Sort of an interesting place. So, and apparently they have a band there called Milk Music.
They certainly do.
Yep.
To the best of my knowledge. So, first I want to play the track, Who's Been in My Dream?
Milk Music. The album is called Mystic 100s.
These guys know something about guitar tone. Seems like they pay a lot of attention to it. And I can appreciate that.
So what struck me as kind of odd about that is that the guitar sounded very like traditional sounding in a good way. And then but the drums have this weird, like real almost tinny sound to them, and the vocals too. It's like,
yeah.
Is the whole album that way, or are they kind of all different the way they're recorded?
I don't know about the vocals, but the drums definitely have sort of like a weird, like some of them even just seem like they're like, they could be a drum loop because they don't change very much. And it's kind of like this, they sit in the mix pretty lowly.
Yeah.
But I think it's sort of that way because they want you to turn it up. So the drums are audible, which makes the guitar loud as shit.
Oh,
and then
cool.
It sounds cool.
Yeah, good strategy.
Yeah.
All right. What are we going to hear next?
Next, let's play track two, Twists and Turns and Head Trips.
Milk Music. That was a very different guitar tone from the previous track. That one sounded like direct in, like like Soon Rose Wagner from the Ravenettes.
Direct in with a mic preamp or something.
And not a ton of reverb like the Ravenettes would
right.
be. Yeah.
Yeah. This album kind of reminds me of, what was that band called? Cold Pumas. Didn't we talk about them?
I remember the name.
They sort of have the same structure of like almost droney in terms of just the song structure and repetition of riffs. But then, I don't know, it's just cool to me that some music sits in this space that's really in between just like a loop or a drone and a classic pop song. I like stuff that does that.
Yeah, that last song definitely fit that description. That's good. You actually said something that fit the description. We have
Sweet.
This thing, we have an ongoing theme that we say something about a band and make a comparison. We play a track and has nothing. It sounds nothing like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right, right.
All right. Yeah. So this is a legit full-length album, 11 songs and not quite 43 minutes. So the pressure is on now. You're going to make another pick and it needs to represent the album appropriately.
Okay. I'm going to pick the longest track on the album. It's around 8:51. It's called Crying Wand.
Thank you.
Well, we can't get sued now because we only played about a quarter of the song.
Thank God.
Do we do it justice?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's Milk Music. And there's a Wikipedia page on them. And one thing I got out of it was the guy does not want you to call it grunge.
He adamantly dismisses it.
Right. Do not call this band grunge.
All right. I mean, I don't really feel tempted to based on this album.
The front man's name is Alex Coxon. And this says they played at the Pitchfork Music Festival and Primavera Sound Festival in 2012.
They had a little bit of hype back then.
Was 2012 the year that you wanted me to take you to Primavera Sound? It's like, Dad, let's go to Spain.
Yeah, it was probably
Right around
2012, then. 2013, something like that.
Because we looked at the lineup and it was like a ton of bands that we liked.
It was the year that My Bloody Valentine was headlining one of the days.
Yeah, that's cool. So, but we didn't go, so I disappointed you as a father.
Pretty much.
Remember the rest of your life that your dad didn't take you to Spain when you asked.
If there's anything I remember about my childhood, it's going to be that.
Yep. Yeah. Sad. Well, we all have adversity that we need to overcome, so not getting to go to Primavera Sound can be your thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, I think we did it again. $0 worth, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Every once in a while, we just shock people and we give them like 50 cents worth. And, you know, they don't even know what to do at that point. Grant's got some fine tea brewing here in the Fourth Bedroom Studios.
It's fine tea. Something kind of gross at the bottom of it. I think it might be natural, but I just really don't like the way it looks.
Oh, yeah. Tea can do that.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I think that's it. We did it. We exhausted the musical selections from the week.
You're welcome, listeners.
Any parting remarks? Want to give the listeners any instructions before we sign off?
Instructions? Watch out for upcoming releases from cool artists like Red Sea and Palm. And watch out for the moment where I become too good to even listen to music other than my own music.
Yeah, that'll
eventually... It's coming up.
Yeah, eventually that'll happen. It'll be like, well, I just don't listen to anything else anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we had that great... We should mention the great Facebook comment where... one of our listeners went to see a band. He went to see that Palm and Level Up show, right? They played in Madison. But this was in New Mexico. So he goes to see them, and he somehow ends up in a conversation with the members of Palm and tells them that the band that he would compare them to is Palberta, that he heard on the podcast. They were like, you got to be kidding. You've heard Palberta? And then they said, yeah, they're an influence of ours. And then the guy thanked us and said that, you know, he was a cool aging rocker for 30 seconds, thanks to Grant.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So that was
once
cool.
Again.
So everybody should do that. Go out in your local communities and see the bands that we recommend.
Nurture the scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make the musicians feel like they're not totally worthless and no one's paying attention to them.
Right. It's got to be kind of fun for bands that aren't particularly popular, you know, but they're indie rockers that, you know, can just scrape together a tour, right?
Yeah. Well,
and then to see some random person who has heard of them by some weird happenstance would be pretty fun.
I think I heard a story that was the same thing, but it was a band Viet Cong touring in New Orleans, and somebody at the show knew about the band Faux Fur, which is like... Four teenagers from Calgary at the time, I think.
Yeah.
But, you gotta get into the scene of the bands you like, because there's pretty good chance they sound similar or know each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of cross-contamination music.
It's a good kind of contamination, though.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay. Glad I remembered to mention that. So, thanks. We love it when the listeners send us stuff like that. That's just super fun. So, I mean, it might be more fun for the actual rockers, but it's fun for us too.
Oh, it's totally
a
confidence boost.
Love it. Yeah. Yep. We'll keep podcasting for at least one more week because we got that message.
All right.
So, all right. Thanks, Grant. I'm sure that approximately a month from now, you'll have another stable of bands, another set of bands. Because I don't think you've exhausted all the bands yet.
Obviously, not quite.
Eventually, you're going to, but you haven't yet. So, that's good.
Yes. Expect more music in the near future.
All right. Let's talk to everyone next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app.
All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.